The Church of Christ in the Latter-day Saint that is called the Mammoths. It's called Church of Christ Latter-day Saint. The founder is called Joseph Smith. He is called a prophet, Joseph Smith. He ranks himself as one of the main prophets, even like Jesus. Now, the doctrine is, first of all, they bring Bible to you. They preach to you Christianity. You accept Christ. They take you to their place of worship, which they don't call church. They have a name for it. But so you believe you are a Christian. You are in the Christian congregation. Then they now tell you, give you a book called the Book of Mormons. That book is the story of Mormons. The Mormons are a clan who migrated from Israel and settled in America. And they lived in those early 18-something, 16-something, whatever. So they had a life and a story and a way of life, which over time was forgotten. But there was this book, these templates that were hidden in one soil somewhere. And then one angel called Cryoni, a Moroni, appeared to Joseph Smith and guided him to those templates, those things, and he got it. So those things contain the story of a lost people, a lost tribe, how they lived. And they were also Christians, and they were mostly Jewish. They arrived in America earliest, and how they lived. So he saw this lost tribe, and the angel commissioned him to revive this lifestyle and the life of these people. So now, that is a book you are going to get. So you will go and read the Book of the Mormons. So you will first of all read the Bible. Then you now read the Book of the Mormons. Okay? Then they will now baptize you. That's where baptism will come. You will now enter into the mainstream of the Mormonites. Then after baptism, you will now be given the teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith, which will guide the life of the Mormonites. So now you are a Mormonite by baptism because you've now known the story of the Mormons and you want to live as the Mormons do. But they use Christ, first of all, to draw you. Hand you over to the Mormonites. Then hand you over to the Prophet Joseph Smith teachings. Now that is where Abel Damina is heading to. You will first of all see all of us like Christians. Then they will preach Christ to you, to people, unbelievers, and people will believe. Then they will bring you to the church and tell you this and tell you of the life of the founder of this ministry. All right? And how the founder lived his life and how the founder came upon this. Then they will now bring out the teachings of the founder and show you. So what it will mean is that when anybody is reading the Bible, they must consult the manual to know. So they will say, we are going to teach on social faith. So when they are teaching faith, they will give you both Bible and the manual. So you have to consult the manual of the teachings of Abel Damina in order to keep yourself within the guideline of what he believes to be faith. So it will only end up becoming a sect. It can never miss that target. It will only become a sect. Another type of Christians within the Christendom who believe this and don't believe that. Here in this church, we don't believe in baptism. We don't believe in Holy Communion. We don't believe in that. All that will be in the manual. So he has already formed a sect. That's how people will draw disciples to themselves and become apart from the church. One man called Marion Branham was one of the greatest evangelists in America. He did this thing that Abel Damina was doing. Now we have the Branham Tabernacle with his books, Mystery Upon Mystery. The mystery of the seven angels, the mystery of seven thunders, the mystery of seven lightning. Everything is mystery, mystery. Black book. The books are always black cover most of the time. His face is only inside the book. That's how you see. You read this, and they will tell you that we are the Elijah. The Elijah generation is the one that are withdrawn to the wilderness. We are the ones that will receive Christ, and Christ will come to us as he came to Elijah. All the other Christians don't know what we are saying. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. In America, I'm not talking in Africa. So no human being that cannot be deceived. Marion Graham was one of the biggest evangelists that Christ used in America. But he fell into this same trap that Abel Damina is falling into. And now, if I ask you who is Marion Graham, you can't know. So, we have one man called Alexander Darwin. He was Dr. Alexander Darwin. Not Charles Darwin that is talking about... He's talking about monkey become human being. I'm talking about Alexander Darwin. This guy is a doctor and one of the greatest miracle workers that the Christendom has ever witnessed in America. This one went his own. He had the same teaching that Abel had. And he was to sift the Bible. He actually sifted the Bible, removed what was negative and evil. He said, God cannot be bad. God cannot be evil. So he removed all those things and then wrote Bible that is made up of the good side of God and published it. The Bible died on arrival. Why? Because what you don't understand about this Bible, that any part of it that is removed, the Holy Spirit cannot preach it. This is called the sword of the Spirit. It's not your sword. Do you know what I'm saying? That means there is something in it that looks off to you. It looks not proper to you. Just wait for the Holy Ghost to handle that passage. What he will use to do, deliverance will take place, healing will take place, miracles will take place. And you are like, this scripture, Holy Ghost can use this scripture to open the eyes of men. That is why they tell you it is called the will of God, that which God has written using the pen of men, that allowing the circumstance, the situation, the events, the failure, the success, the sins and righteousness, everything in this world is captured in this Bible. It is captured for the Holy Ghost. Because you will not know where the Holy Ghost is going to use that scripture. You would think it's a useless scripture. Cain killed Abel, and it is useless. No, wait for the Holy Ghost to handle that passage. You will understand that that can solve your marital problem. Just by Cain killed Abel, a pastor under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, using that passage, can solve the anger problem between husband and wife. So you cannot, see, it's not your will. It's not you who wrote it. Fear it, leave it. The apostle said, all scripture, not some of it, all scripture, two apostles say that, and all scripture, Peter and Paul, that they are inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
They are written by holy men of God who were inspired by the Holy Ghost, and that no man, none of those scriptures are of any man's personal impute. So you may think, this one says this, the other one says that. Who is right among two of them? How can this say this about this cup? And that one say that about that cup? No, one alone is right. Then you begin to look for the one that is right, only for you to ditch the other one. But that one you ditch might be what will save you tomorrow.
Yes,
just leave it to the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
for when the Holy Ghost mounts the podium and begin to teach you scripture and begin to pick one thing and say, I'm going to deal with the situation. There is somebody in this place that is struggling with so and so. And he tells you, go to so, pray scripture and deal with it. And then suddenly you discover that the Holy Ghost is pointing at something that you yourself did not believe before. So the error that Abel is making is like, I can actually sift this scripture You know, Laria? I can sift it and remove the chaff and keep the wheat. That one day I know in the future, hallelujah, the church will come and thank me. Now they are persecuting me. Now they are attacking me. Now they are hating me. But very soon in the future, they will come and praise me that I took time to sift the Bible and give them the pure word and remove the things that are not God inside. That is the work of God alone. Only God can do that.
Yes.
It is God's work we want to do. Instead of doing the work of the anointed, for we are all anointed to preach,
yes,
and to teach. And that's why we are given what to preach, what to say. And Isaiah was anointed. Isaiah says, but what should I preach? God told him, this is your message. In chapter 1 to chapter 5 of Isaiah, Isaiah was preaching another message. But by chapter 6, God manifests himself to Isaiah and said, this is the message I want you to go and preach.
Yes, sir.
He put the word in his mouth. Jeremiah, he said, I put my word in your mouth. Jeremiah was not to preach general, but there is a particular statement. Isaiah, he said, eat this scroll. Speak the contents of the scroll. So you need to understand that nobody has been given the ministry of correcting the Bible. Now, Abel Damina believes that since Christ is in us and Christ corrected Moses, I want a point of correction. Look at what Abel Damina thinks. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew. See some of the things that make Abel Damina continue to tow the path he is towing and fearlessly, because he believes that at the end, the judge of all will rule in his favor. Every lawyer is always fearless. My case is right. My case is right. You are sitting in the office. Lawyer, see what I want to do. I just want to know, should I carry it to court? Is this case going to win? The lawyer will look at it, especially the hungry ones. When he see that money will pass him by, if he does not take the case. Instead of advising you that, listen, sir, this thing is going, he said, let's go to court. What nonsense? The position of law is that, we quote one position. They will go to court, quote that position, the client will be so confident, my lawyer is good. You will hear him talking all those legal jargons. Wait for the time that the judge will give the verdict. That is when you see the lawyer will stand up as a court places. My lord, we are elated. Then he will start to talk big grammar. We are elated, delighted, and indeed, we are completely bamboozled and enlightened. In the fact that the way you arrived at the judgment, my lord, we are always learning. We will never stop learning. And your judgment indeed is so. However, my lord, it is of our own freedom to appeal your judgment. So, my lord, we intend to appeal to the higher court and see what the other three judges will say. However, my lord, we still respect your humble decision. Some will even say, you have enlightened us. That is when they walk out of court and tell their client, you know, yes, the mistake was that you did not actually, you know, in that statement you made when you gave me, you didn't actually see what happens, that there was a letter. If you had only collected that letter, but you knew this and you took this client to court so that you will go and eat money and fail. They are using you to practice law. Yes, practice makes perfect. So they are using you to practice. So they don't tell you, you will fail, no, you will fail. So Abel Damina has a spirit that is resting upon him. Only him knows whether it's out of God or wherever. That tells him, you are right, you are right, you are right. God will rule in your favor. You are teaching that. Don't worry. In the next 5 to 10 years, this thing, God will rule in your favor. These things that they are attacking you on is what they will come and start teaching again. So he is confident, patient, that the world is against him because the world don't understand the word. And he has been raised up to teach the church, to change the church, to correct the church, to correct the scripture. He is doing a great job that has never been done before. He is the man that has a light in heaven. Blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, whether you feel anyhow about what you are doing, it is the judge that will write the verdict. Let these things Abel Damina is saying become the teaching of my entire church. Angels will enforce it. It will now become what people accept. But if the verdict is that, delete this thing from the record. I'm telling you, years to come, the book will be controlled in the trash of history as one of the heresies that men preached. So it's not what we say and what we don't say, what we approve and what we don't approve. It is what the judge decides. So whether Abel knows it or not, I know it. We are in court. He brought this matter to court and someone has to rise up and challenge it. But the judge will decide which lawyer wins. It's a serious matter we are doing here. It involves life and death. It involves generations to come. It involves people that are yet unborn. It even involves us that are alive now. So it's not a joke.
Yes, sir.
There is no power on earth that is greater than the power of words. This word in your mouth. There's no power greater than it. It is by words that we fight war. It is by words that we make peace. It is by words that we kill. It is by words that we give life. It is by words that we marry. It is by words that we divorce. It is by words that everything is done. Without word, a man and his wife must quarrel or disagree for them to separate. Words is what spark fighting in the house. See, he's beating his wife every day. Did you hear when the wife was beating him with her words? You useless man. Yeah, man. Idiot man. Woo! No, you didn't see that one. You were only seeing bah, bah. So you condemned the man without hearing the words. Those words are even more powerful than the bah, bah. You understand? You get what I'm saying? So words are... So what Abel is doing is powerful. Words. Those words have to be challenged. What I'm doing is powerful. None of us are playing. Not him, not I. We are not joking. It's reality. Lives are hanging on these things. In the internet, people, lovers of Abel will say, "Ooh, small boy, you never reach a level." That's his business. God is the one that is the judge, not them. Another person will say, "Wow, man of God, try. You really defeat Abel here." God is the judge. It's not you. But make your comments. In court, you will hear laughter. You will think the person that is talking is making jest. When the judgment comes, you will see the person they were laughing at is the one who won the case. It is just how the law is. God is the judge of all. No doctrine that is not of God will survive Zion. They may bring it up, but it will be washed out. Sometimes it dies by the repentance of the person who preached the gospel. He may realize his error and say, "So I realize my error." That gospel dies. Sometimes it dies by the removal of that person from there because he does not want to stop preaching it. He keeps saying it, and God said, "Remove this man from here." Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Abel Damina, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, this is what strengthens Abel Damina. He said, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not no evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it had been said, who said this? The law of Moses, that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen. Now, what Abel is saying here is, can't you see Jesus discrediting Moses? Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it means Moses had some error and mistakes, and Jesus is correcting him. Moses said, do this, do that. Jesus said, no, do this. Now, I want you to know that Jesus was not correcting the scripture. Neither was he correcting Moses. Moses is not there to be corrected. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. So he's not correcting Moses. What is happening here? Jesus is showing the difference between Moses and him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, he says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Do you understand what that means? That means Jesus did not come to preach the law. He came to preach grace.
Yes, sir.
So Moses did no wrong by putting forth those law, because he was sent with the law.
Sir.
His business is law. He did not err in law. He did not make mistake in law. For God gave him law, not grace.
Yes, sir.
You can't leave what God gives you to do and go and do what God didn't give you to do. Moses does not know grace. He wasn't called to preach grace. He was called to preach the law, to teach the law. Moses is not a religious leader. Moses is not a religious leader. It's not religion that Moses was doing. Moses is a national leader. He's a founding father of a new nation, born out of an old nation. It's like if Biafra goes now, the people that will be the ones who will start Biafra and start ruling the Biafra are those who are called the founding father of Biafra that was broken out of Nigeria. That's if it does happen. All right? So, this nation of Israel was not the only nation in Egypt. During the time of Joseph, amen, many nations came because of the famine so that they will come and survive the famine. And they settled. Some of them didn't go back. So they settled in different pockets of different tribes, in different villages and towns of Egypt. Israel settled in a land called Goshen. Pharaoh turned only the Israelites into slaves. The rest they did not, because those ones were more prosperous and they were growing by numbers. So the reason is that Joseph was a prince under a Pharaoh that is the Numans. It's called the Numanic Pharaohs. They were the owners, the black Pharaoh, they were the owners of Egypt. But they were overpowered by the Arabs, the sons of Ishmael, who took over and destroyed the records of those people and started a new nation in the land of Egypt. So, why they turned Israelite to slaves is that these are the descendants of Joseph, brethren of Joseph. If these Numans gather muscle and they want to reclaim their land, most likely these ones that benefited the most from them may join them and attack them. So let's enslave them. Let's diminish them. Let's break them morally, mentally, psychologically, so that they cannot join the enemy in case the enemy wants to rebound. That was the reason for that sick slavery. Hallelujah. Amen. So from this foundation I am laying when I come back. Amen?
Amen.
After this brief break, when I come back, we will continue from there.